Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Lady Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Hey, you guys. It is Tuesday night. Right around 8 p.m. Eastern, so y'all know what that means. It is time for the scoreboard. My name is Tony, and you are listening live. But we're going to take care of that when the guys get into the clubhouse a little bit later, but I'm going to go ahead and do some house cleaning and pay these bills so we can keep the lights on. Once again, my name is Tony, and we are coming to you live from Real Raw Radio, your radio tailgate party. Now, as you just heard from that drop from the boss lady herself, Nene Capri, she is the be-all and end-all of the authors, and we actually have a release date for her latest in the P-Trap Series 5. So make sure you guys are following my page on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram. It should be dropping in just a few days, actually, sometime this weekend. But in the meantime, make sure you get caught up.
Library. That's what I'm talking about.
And the Trust No Bitch series, 1, 2, and 3, she actually co-wrote that with Cash Street Lit author, so make sure you pick that up as well. That's another heat from Nene's pen. Now, she also has some authors in her repertoire with the Nene Capri Presents. She has the beautiful Imani, and she is the author of Sinful Lust, as well as S. Chameleon. She is the author of Devious Deceptions, Parts 1 and 2. And she has Rance McNeil. He is the author of The Rap. So make sure you guys pick that up. And some of the sponsors of our show here on Real Raw Radio include Nene Capri Presents the Iron Throne Magazine. That's another one by Nene, the Boss Lady. Fleet DJs of the ATL, the Brit Network, 1K Media Group, and Media Vision 848, and Young Urban America Group, as well as my baby that's keeping me quite busy, which is I am actually blessed to be in the midst of book write editing. So if you're interested in getting that novel, that manuscript edited, head on over to bookwriteediting.net, and I will take care of your editing needs. Now, like I said at the top of the show, there's a lot going on in the NBA free agency, and for those that are MLB followers, we had a great home run derby last night, and I do believe the All-Star game is taking place now. I'm going to check that out with the guys. I see Mr. Louis Mack is in the studio. If you're ready, Louis, y'all can go ahead and bring you in. Just press your one just to let me know that you are ready. And we're going to wait for Mr. Jazz. Y'all know He's actually officially late because it is 8:05 and he has not pulled up into the clubhouse. Hey, Louie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm hoping to catch some of the game this evening after the show. But there's so much going on, like I said, talking about the NBA free agency and the home run derby last night. Did you catch any of it?
I caught most of it, actually. It was actually really entertaining. I like the new format. I'm really digging the it's a time limit instead of a swing limit format that they've been implementing the last couple of years. And it was a lot of fun to watch a lot of the young stars that are blossoming in baseball right now go out there and put on a show.
Absolutely. And to be honest, Louie, this is actually the first time I tuned in to the Home Run Derby, and it was mostly because of... Jazz has actually pulled up into the clubhouse. Hey, Jazz, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, baby? How you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Louie and I were talking about the home run derby last night. Were you able to catch any of it?
No, I didn't catch any of it, but I did hear that, you know, my man from New York, well, I ain't going to say his name, because I've been hearing his name all day. So I ain't going to say his name, but I heard that big fella from New York. You know, he put on his show, hit one off the roof. Am I correct?
Yes.
Man.
Yes, he did.
Yes. I was telling Louie, this is the first time I actually sat down and watched it, and it was basically because of him and what he has brought to the game.
There's a lot of people like you, Miss Tony, that were first-time watchers because this is the highest-rated home run derby in, like, 8 or 9 years. So there was a lot of people wanting to see what the guy who everybody's been talking about, so Jazz doesn't want to say his name, but everybody wanted to see what he could do and see the show that was going to get put on. And I don't think they got, you know, nobody should have left watching that disappointed. That was a show. Everybody was bombing. Everybody was hitting. It was a lot of fun.
Well, let's be clear.
You know,
I mean, like,
and I'm the homer, Jazz. I'm going to go ahead and say Aaron Judge. Yes, I said it. All rise and can y'all hear me?
Okay,
I got
you
now.
Okay,
I got you.
We're having some technical difficulty. So go ahead, guys.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, for the last, you know, like Louie said, the ratings were down for the home run derby, so I didn't think I was going to miss much. I said, okay, it's the home run derby. I mean, the ratings were down? But not this year. Like he said, for the last few years, I mean, nobody was watching the home run derby.
Okay. True. I know I wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, most of the people watching the Home Run Derby are, you know, what we call scene heads like me, who I'll watch some crappy minor league baseball just because I like watching the game. I have no, you know,
okay.
So, you know, for me, watching Giancarlo Stanton and those guys take BP for a couple hours is a lot of fun because those guys can match.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's a true credit, and I hope baseball – and I hope Major League Baseball, and I hope the Yankees, and I hope Aaron Judge himself figure out a way to market him and to let him be a star, an individual star in a very team-oriented sport. It is a very team-oriented sport. There's more fans of teams than players.
Absolutely.
But this is a guy that we have never seen before take the field for a Major League Baseball team. There's never been a guy big play in the, you know, an everyday position player in the MLB so far. And we're seeing something special. We're seeing what we're hoping to see is a new group of athletes coming to baseball because of Aaron Judge. And I hope baseball and their unwritten rules and their tradition don't keep him down like they tried to keep Bryce Harper down. I hope they let him blossom and show off the personality and be a star and show that, yes, we are a team sport and we're very, you know, tradition and history and love of the game, but you can be an individual and you can have a lot of fun and you can, you know, you can be an individual star. You don't have to be the best player for the Yankees. You can be Aaron Judge of the Yankees.
Okay.
And it's, well, and it's interesting that you say that because I'm not sure how much is spoken of outside of New York, outside of the Yankees, but he is first and foremost a team player. He downplays his contributions to the game as much as possible, as much as his fans will let him. You know, he is all about team first.
Oh, he was even like that last night after winning the home run derby. He was very much, this was for the fans. They asked him, what was his favorite part about it? Putting on a show for the fans. They showed a clip of him cheering for Miguel Sano in the championship round, but, you know, because Miguel Sano batted before him in the finals, and Judge was cheering him, trying to get him, you know, keep him hitting. And they asked him, you know, why are you doing that? He goes, because this is all about the fans. I wanted to put on a show for the fans. It's no fun for me to hit 16 and the other guy.
Do we lose him? Are you guys there?
Hello?
Jeff, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know if we still have Louie. He was in the middle of some good stuff. Louie, are you still with us? Because my ears are going in and out. I'm not sure if I'm still alive.
I got
I just came back in.
Okay.
Lou, you back in?
Yeah. It's been
okay, he's back in.
Cutting in and out, but I'm here.
Okay. All right, I hope it's not going to be an ongoing thing all night tonight. But you was in the midst of saying some things. And actually, Louie, I'm not sure how much you saw. And, Jazz, I'm going to let you get in here because I know we haven't let you spoke about Mr. Aaron Judge. But I even stuck around and watched the All-Star game afterwards. And that was actually pretty fun as well.
What, the Celebrity All-Star game is always a blast. I remember as a kid almost loving the Celebrity All-Star game as much as I loved the actual home run derby itself.
So who participated in this year's game?
That I could not tell you because I didn't watch too much of it.
Okay.
But as a kid, like I remember, there's usually always a legend that played in the city that the game was being hosted in.
Okay.
When Jenny Finch was the star of the United States softball team, she always played in it. There was always a couple of, like, celebrities. Like, one year it was in St. Louis, so Nelly the rapper was in it because he's from St. Louis.
Okay.
And, you know, some old, you know, old school players, some, you know, celebrities, things like that. I don't know off the top of my head who all played in it last night, though.
I'm about to look it up. It was in Miami. Maybe Trick Daddy played it.
It was really good. He was up in there. Pitbull, he actually sang.
He would sing. Yeah, makes sense.
Hey,
they had Justin Hartley.
Pitbull looked like he was trying to go play left field for the Marlins on stage. Like, come on, man, untuck the shirt, rock some jeans,
he
let's
had
be
his
for
shirt
real. Like, you want to
Yo, Pitbull always clean, baby. He always clean. He always clean. Don't matter.
Yes, he was. It was actually
really good.
Ricky Henderson.
It was
a good lineup.
I have a question for you, Louie. And I hate to change the subject, but the question I have for you is, why did the MLB change the rules so that the winner of the game does not have home field advantage in the World Series?
Well, at first, became the rule, because I believe it was 97, the 97 All-Star game ended in like a 7-7 draw. And everybody got really upset that it ended in a tie, because baseball games don't end in ties ever. It doesn't matter what part of it. So a lot of people were upset about that. So Bud Selig introduced the home field advantage thing to the All-Star game to get managers to coach to win. But what we figured out is 10 of the last 13 teams to have home field advantage in the World Series have won the World Series. So to put that kind of advantage on an exhibition game where a part of it's to try to win, but the other part of it is to let all the fans see all their favorite players play in a game together. Max Scherzer and Chris Sale are starting pitching tonight. If they were playing to win, those guys would probably go 5 or 6, but they're only going to go 2 innings tonight.
Okay.
You know, so, like, you put a stipulation on it that you want those guys to win, but then you don't actually play to win because everybody wants to see their favorite player. Like, Aaron Judge is only going to see 1 or 2 plate appearances, and then he's going to get taken out of the game.
Okay.
Because you got to get the other outfield this time. So
absolutely.
It's kind of hard to put a stipulation like home field advantage in the World Series on an exhibition game when you're not really playing to win. You want to win, but you're also letting the fans see who they voted for and see the best players in the game right now play on the field together.
Okay. So now I guess my thing is, now that you've changed it back, are you hoping that the balance comes back also? How was it before 97?
Oh, it was a lot of pitchers threw 1 or 2 innings. Batters saw 1 or 2 plate appearances, played a couple of innings in the field, and then you started rotating guys out. It's probably going to run like that tonight also. The only problem is the big draw for the All-Star game was also getting to see the best of the American League play the best of the National League. That didn't ever happen a lot. And then they introduced interleague play, where for a section of the – like there was like a 3-week, almost a month of the season where it was interleague play. And then it would go back to only National League versus only American League. Well, now both leagues have 15 teams in it since the Astros moved from the NL to the AL to balance it out. So now there's an interleague series every 3. Like there's always an interleague series going on throughout the season.
Okay.
So now that special AL versus NL doesn't really apply anymore because we get to see that all the time now. So they're gonna have to come up with a new format on how to make the All-Star game interesting. One idea I've heard is kind of like how they tried to do the Pro Bowl the last couple of years. Whoever the top vote getter in the National League and the top vote getter in the American League, or just do the top two vote getters overall, team captains, and they get to draft a team based on the All-Stars voted on by the fans.
Okay. Okay, so you have a little mixing of talent.
Yeah. Instead of doing AL versus NL, we'd basically do Team Harper versus Team Trout or whatever, whoever it was that year.
Okay.
And I think that could be fun.
But now, how did you choose the home team in the World Series before, you know, 97, I guess?
Best record. Whoever had the best, the same way they'll do it this year, the same way NBA does it, whoever had the best regular season record will get home field advantage.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how NBA does it. Like, the Warriors got home field advantage against the Cleveland Cavaliers because the Warriors had a better regular
season. Absolutely.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Hello? Is that you, Jack?
Okay, we have a technical difficulty tonight. Not sure what's going on.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah,
hey,
I'm
buddy.
Here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here, guys. We are here. Yeah.
Okay. We're back.
Is it? Okay. Is any storms going on? And is it raining by you guys?
Nah, everything clear where I'm at.
I would say it's blue skies where I'm at.
Yeah.
Blue skies.
Maybe it's New York.
Huh?
Maybe it's New York.
Well, it's gotta be New York.
Georgia's running
no,
hard.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
Hey.
Georgia's running good right now.
Hey, James Dolan must have got a hold of our technical equipment because it can't work anymore.
Hey, but none of us seem to be Phil Jackson. We don't seem to be on Team Jackson. So he may be cutting us a break. Maybe. And this kid, you know, it's Comcast and they do run the world.
I don't know, man.
Well,
so now
speaking
I wanted
of the NBA, what's bad, Jazz?
Wait, I got one more baseball question before we go down again. What do you guys think about Michael Jordan joining the bid for the Marlins with Derek Jeter? How do you guys feel about that?
Well, you know they're friends, so.
Absolutely.
I would say Jordan and Jeter are friends. Jordan's got a passion for the game. He grew up around it. I think his dad played minor league or major league
mm-hmm.
baseball. You know, obviously mm-hmm. he tried to play baseball, but it didn't work out real well for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he knows the game. He has a passion for the game. I just hope, like, if he joins the ownership group that he acknowledges that he doesn't know as much about the game as, like, somebody like Jeter does. And
okay.
kind of just
mm-hmm.
is a silent, like, money supporter and not trying
silent
to be
partner.
Hands-on as much. Yeah. Like don't try to be as hands-on, but, you know, give your 2 cents when it's needed. But, you know, he needs to – you know, if he does it, he needs to recognize that he hasn't been around the game that long. He doesn't really know how the, you know, the baseball world works. It works differently than the NBA. And he just needs to be able to unload the money. So, you know, because baseball doesn't have a salary cap. So if you're willing to pay the money, you can have basically whoever you want.
So basically he needs to follow Magic Johnson and just put in the money and ride
yeah,
the horse.
Put in the money, have some fun, make your appearances, and just enjoy the ride. And let Jeter
well,
and your group
Well, the first thing
of,
that comes
you know,
to my mind is the way his basketball team has you know, their professional record. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Well,
I don't put a lot of that on Jordan because it's hard to convince somebody to come play in Charlotte. Like, no offense
yeah,
to Charlotte. Like, some great things have come out of Charlotte, like Ric Flair. I'm drawing a Del Curry. I'm drawing a blank outside of those. But, I mean, it's hard to convince a superstar that Charlotte is where you want to play
wow.
your basketball. So, I don't
Then why have a team there, then? If that's the case, you know, they pay.
They
obviously not that
them.
Much
yeah,
of a rich
they
history.
Took the Hornets. You could,
they
took
the Hornets,
dude.
Away. They took their team away from them, and they was ready to
right.
do another expansion team, and they went, oh, there's really no other city other than Charlotte that wants it, so let's give them the Bobcats.
Well, the Bobcats was the makeup for the Hornets, because, I mean, the way the Hornets moved was just trash. That was just terrible.
Oh, and that's the other part, too, is they were an expansion team. Like, it takes a long time to build an expansion team
yeah.
from the ground up. And, you know,
no doubt.
It's hard. I mean, because, I mean, you're basically starting from scratch with a handful of, you know,
yeah.
leftovers. You know, you're drafting and taking players from teams that those teams aren't really going to hurt
yeah.
if you take them from them. And then,
and the first,
you know, draft
and the first draft pick was
Okafor.
Adam Morrison. Oh, yeah, Okafor. I think Okafor did come first. And Okafor had some nice years, but he never developed into the player everybody wanted. And then there was the Adam Morrison debacle.
Yeah, and if it was Morrison, they ain't no better.
Yeah.
But you talk about it takes time to build a team. I mean, the Charlotte Hornets were born, if you want to say, in 1988. So it's been over 20 years. So how much time do you actually give a team to develop and have solid players? You can't use that as an excuse.
Yeah, well, the Charlotte Hornets, they started in Charlotte, and then the NBA said Charlotte's not a good – the owner said this is not a good enough city for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking them to New Orleans. And they spent six years in New Orleans before another team came back to Charlotte.
Yeah.
This is really
so it wasn't
the
20
Bobcats
straight.
When the Hornets changed their name to the Pelicans, the Bobcats were able to buy that name back and rename the Hornets.
Yeah.
Well, maybe therein lies the problem, all these name changes.
I mean, they busted out on a lot of their early draft picks. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist never turned out what they wanted him to be. Adam Morrison busted out. Emeka Okafor never turned out to what they wanted to be. I mean, really, the only draft pick that they've hit on is Kimball Walker. And, I mean, he's not even the player everybody thought or wanted him to be. So, I mean, they haven't drafted well, but I don't know how much of that is Jordan.
Well, don't be trashing Kimball Walker because he's from my neighborhood. Don't be trashing
Kimball,
Mr. Walker.
No. Kimball Walker's a great player. Kimball Walker's a very good player. He's just not a superstar. And everybody kind of hoped that maybe with his, with the swagger and stuff that he has and, leading UConn to a championship that, even though he was a little bit smaller and not as athletic as some of the other guys, that his want and his drive would, make him a little bit better in the NBA. And it just never translated as well as everybody hoped. So, but I mean,
well, they did trade for
the
Dwight.
Team around him.
They got a building block of Dwight Howard now.
Oh, don't even give me that building block in Dwight Howard bull crap.
Come on,
dude,
you got to
give
him
some. You know how
much
he loves Dwight Howard.
The dude's best years was being a center in a three happy team. Come on now.
Come on, man. Look, you're putting Howard with Gilchrist, with Walker. Dude, you got to.
Who's going to shoot? Who's going to shoot? Who's going to shoot from three? Nobody. Dwight Howard definitely ain't shooting. The dude can't even hit a free throw. He's definitely not stepping off the three-point land.
Dude, come on. You got it.
Well, we can all agree that the best of Dwight Howard's years are behind him.
The best of Dwight Howard's years are in college or high school or whatever, however he got to the league.
He had a couple of breakout years in Orlando.
He should not have even won the slam dunk contest. Take your cape off. You didn't even dunk. Your hands never touched the rim. Get out of here with your crap.
Hey.
Wow, you're really passionate about this Dwight Howard issue.
Yeah, not really.
Not
a Howard
like
guy,
dude's a bum.
I was waiting for that.
Me, as a short, overweight, white dude, that never played basketball in his life on a competitive level, I could probably put 20 points on him in the post and keep him from scoring.
Now, see, you're the typical fan, your short, white, overweight man that they talk about always have so much to say about the players. You know that's been in the news lately. You know, these media people think they know it and never played a game in their life. So you are the epitome of what they're talking about.
Well, call me slap me a media badge and give me a press conference in the Charlotte Bobcats locker room, and I'll say it to his face. Like, the best thing he ever did was block shots and rebound, and he can't even do that anymore. So.
And you'll read him his stats, right, Louis? Year by year.
And I'll tell him to his face that he didn't win the slam dunk contest. The guy he competed against got robbed.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah,
the guy's name, but he should have won.
Yes, you see how passionate he is
I hate
Howard.
Well, I'm about to make him, you might want to get out the way, because, Louis Mack, I have a question for you, sir.
Oh, jeez.
What is going on in Atlanta, bruh? Tell me, what's going on with the Hawks, man?
I mean, the Hawks are doing what they should have done, like, 4 years ago and admit that being mediocre –
is not good in the NBA. You either have to be the top 4 or 5 team in the league, or you got to be a bottom 3 or 4 team in the league for a couple of years. Like, sitting in the middle like the Hawks have done the last 5, 6, 7 years, or really since Joe Johnson got there, it doesn't work anymore. Like, you got to have superstars, and you're not getting superstars when you're drafted 19th overall in the first round every year.
Mm-hmm.
So you agree with not matching the offer for Tim Hardaway Jr., for letting Millsap walk, for trading Howard? You agree with all those moves?
Oh, technically it was a sign-and-trade for Millsap.
So what did they get back?
They got back Jamal Crawford and some draft picks, and then they bought out Jamal Crawford. That's how all that happened.
Okay.
Yeah, the Clippers sent Jamal Crawford to Atlanta. Denver sent draft picks to Atlanta, I think. And then Denver got Paul Millsap, and the Clippers got Danilo Gallinari. And all
okay.
So yeah,
it turned
into
a weird
3-2.
With what Atlanta got back?
Yeah, you need draft picks. You need to get rid of, you know, I mean, if you, the team has apparently, and should, has admitted that they are rebuilding. Unfortunately, okay. Paul Millsap, he's getting close to 30. He's getting close to that point where big guys start slowing down and aren't as effective.
Okay.
You know, let him go? You got something back. Jamal Crawford doesn't help you win anytime soon. It's a waste. It wasn't really a waste of money, but, I mean, you basically have a guy who's, you know, a sixth man off the bench. He's really good at what he does, but he's older. He doesn't want to play for you again. He wants to try to, you know, be a part of something special. You let him walk, take your draft picks, and you move on about your business and build around Dennis Schroeder. And that Jason Collins kid that they got in the draft this year, that dude's awesome. I like him. That's
okay.
Probably the first good
Which
move
one
the
is that?
Made in like 4 years. Jason Collins.
Which one is that? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, granted, it's summer league. He's looked really good so far. But Millsap and Howard and Tim Hardaway Jr., those guys aren't the answer anymore if you're going to try to rebuild. If you're going to rebuild, you got to go for it, and they're doing it.
But first you got to admit that you're trying to rebuild. Some teams are not even admitting that they're in the rebuild, you know, stage.
Yeah,
so now how do you guys feel about Chris Paul going to Houston?
On paper, it's awesome. On paper, Houston's easily the second-best team in the West right now, in my opinion. In practice, you have two very ball-centric, I hate to use it because it sounds really negative, but ball-hoggy players in the backcourt in Chris Paul and James Harden. I'm going to be very interested to see how D'Antoni gets them to share the ball back and forth and make that offense flow like it did last year.
So what do you think, Ms. Tony?
I think it's a good move, but I'm just want to just go back. Did you say ball hoggy?
Yeah, they both like to have the ball in their hands.
Okay, because we seem to have a different tone, and I think Jazz knows where I'm going with this. We seem to have a different tone when we talk about ball hog, when we talk about different players. I'm just saying. You know,
we have been known
to get on one of my New York players about quote unquote ball hogging.
When Chris Paul and James Harden hog the ball, they're MVP quality players. When Carmelo hogs the ball,
wow.
He's just being.
We have a technical difficulty.
Wow.
We really having some technical difficulty.
Real, I mean, he said it. He said it. Do you agree, Ms. Tony?
Anyway, I like the move with Paul going to Houston. You know, I think it was time. I really think it was time for him to make that move. And I think, like we said, it does look good. Just to make a move, just to leave the Clippers.
Dude, no, Houston's not a good look. Y'all know like I know. Houston's not a good – it's not a good place for him. If he's scoring more points than Harden, Harden going to look at him and be like, you know what time it is. Give me the ball. Go over there in the corner and shut up.
But, okay, okay.
I don't know because he checked out of game six. James Harden, he checked out. He checked out in the playoffs. It was evident. I've never seen him play a game the way he played.
I see your point. I see your point, but I'm gonna give you a counter argument. One,
okay.
What's the two things that has killed James Harden and Chris Paul in the playoffs so far in the last two or three years?
Movement.
Not movement, but those guys are gassed. By the time the playoffs come, those guys are gassed because they're having to handle everything for their respective teams. Now you have a team that when they're on the court together, if they can survive on the court together, that offense is going to be amazing because Chris Paul, even though he can score, he's a very pass-first, floor-general type of point guard. And then, you know, can score when needed. James Harden's a better pure scorer than he is playmaker. He did a very good job running the point last year with the assists and stuff, but I think his game works better when he gets to isolate on the wing, do his thing. And, you know, he's super hard to guard. So if those two can live together on the court together, it's going to be awesome to watch. The other thing it gives them, though, is when Chris Paul needs a rest, you have a James Harden who can now control the offense and play the point guard and run the floor, and your offense isn't going to slow down much. And on the flip side, when James Harden needs to take a rest, you have a Chris Paul who can run the offense and score at a decent enough clip that the team's not going to hurt for James Harden to come back on the floor. So it'll give those two guys a chance to rest. And then when the playoffs come around, they're not going to be gassed by game six of the first series.
I can agree with that, except you gave up your best ball defender in Beverly. You gave up a big man, and you gave up a pick. And on top of that, you did nothing else. This doesn't get you close to the Golden State.
Okay, hold on. You gave up Patrick Beverly. I agree. That hurts. That's a great on-ball defender on the wing. Chris Paul is a very underrated defender on the wing, or as a guard. So he's not as good as Patrick Beverly, especially now that he's older, but he's still very solid. So that one I'm okay with. You lost. What big guy did they lose?
I forget his name. Then they were talking about Capella.
There you go.
But I don't think they lost Capella.
Okay, exactly. It didn't matter. I mean, yeah. I mean, you keep Nene or Nene or whatever his name is. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah,
a
they
big guy
Nene.
Who can run. A big guy who can run the floor. You cleared up, and they still have enough cap space that this is where it's going to get interesting. And if it happens, I might have to eat some words on Carmelo Anthony. There's a very good chance Carmelo Anthony's playing for the Rockets next year. And if that happens, you have now have another 6'9 scorer, pure scorer, that will make Kevin Durant play defense on the other side. Kevin Durant will have to play defense against a Carmelo Anthony since you didn't get a Paul George. Like, he's going to have – like, if you add Carmelo, even if Carmelo's coming off the bench, which I don't think he would, I don't think he'd agree to it. Because he has a no-trade clause, so he has to agree to it. So if he thinks Houston's going to make him come off the bench, I don't think Carmelo will go for it. But you will now have a Carmelo Anthony who, even though he's older and is a ball hog, the dude can still score at an elite level. So
you got three ball hogs on the team.
You got three ball hogs, but three elite scorers, and they're elite at what they do. And it makes Kevin Durant play defense. It makes LeBron James play defense. It makes Paul George play defense if you can add a Carmelo Anthony. And then you got to hope that James Harden and Chris Paul can take whoever's guarding them one-on-one all game long.
I mean, it works if you got three balls. I give you that. I mean, because they all need their own ball to play with.
I mean, if Carmelo's willing to waive his no-trade clause to get out of New York, and is willing to waive the no-trade clause and go to Houston or get bought out and go to Houston, I think it's a sign from Carmelo that he's finally realized he is not a cornerstone for a franchise to win a championship. He's better as being the number two or number three guy on a team to win a championship. And this might be Carmelo deciding it's time to go chase some rings and see if I can make something happen and go play with a buddy in Chris Paul and see if we can make some magic happen.
You know,
but just for the
really
record, he already knows that he's not the cornerstone of a franchise. So that's another thing that I don't know is known outside of New York is that we know that here. You know, so we know that a team is not going to be built around Carmelo Anthony. He's going to be an asset to wherever he goes, and he has that choice because of the no trade clause.
But you can't just trade him.
People call up and say, well, just trade Carmelo. You can't just trade him because these are things in place that just can't happen.
No. But that's what
unless
I'm saying
he chooses for them to happen.
If he's willing to waive that no-trade clause to go to Houston, that to me is signaling that Carmelo Anthony has agreed to not be a ball hog anymore, to be the guy who runs off of screens and it gets open and runs
okay.
an offense and does his job
okay.
and
that's
doesn't
too much
have
work.
To control the ball. Yeah.
Too much work. Running off the screen is too much work for him, first of all. He's not doing that. And secondly, Dolan is not going to lose. He's not going to fire Phil Jackson and let Carmelo leave in the same year.
I don't know, man.
I think that because he fired Jackson, Carmelo is stuck. I think he's stuck because Dolan cannot sell Jackson leaving, Carmelo leaving, and the only thing I got to sell is Porzingis. No,
okay,
I'm not
well,
selling that.
James Dolan's got a bigger issue, dude. He can't even get anybody to come run his team for him.
Let me just add this because
that's what I'm saying.
Let me just add
James
this
Dolan.
Because Dolan likes he really likes Melo, and it hasn't come out yet, but things are trickling out here in the sports media regarding that whole Phil Jackson saga. But I'm sure that Carmelo Anthony is at the midst of it because Dolan really loves Carmelo Anthony. Okay, so whatever Melo is going to want to keep him happy, Dolan is going to go with it.
He's not
just going to come
Carmelo.
Out. He loves Melo.
I'm telling you, he'll super max McKee.
James Dolan's got bigger issues as to whether or not he pisses off his fans because he let Carmelo wave his no trade card and go. You can't get anybody to sign on to be your GM and your president of basketball operations, just like in Cleveland. Like, there's an issue there with your ownership when you can't get a guy who's never, like, I mean, Cleveland specifically, you can't get a guy like Chauncey Billups who's never done it before to say, yeah, I'll do this. Like,
uh-huh.
Cleveland, I mean, New York let, what's the guy that just left Cleveland? Griffin? No, that's the owner's name.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Griffin.
Yeah. Griffin,
Yeah. You had a guy who built Cleveland a championship team and won a championship. He comes to New York and says, all I want is to bring my own people in, sign me to a deal. I bring in my own staff. Let's go have some fun. We'll see if we can make this work. And James Dolan said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to keep my guys.
Yeah.
There's an issue
Allen.
Above your basketball operations that even if you keep Carmelo, you lose Carmelo, you sell Porzingis, there's an issue.
There, well, first of all, Griffin should not have asked. He could have asked to fire anybody but Allen Houston. You're not firing Allen Houston. He's a legend in here. Lifetime Nick. You're not firing him, first of all. So Griffin should have knew he was out of pocket when he asked for that. So
why would Houston's name come up? Because he is with our D League. He has nothing to do with the Knicks. He's with the Westchester Knicks.
So that should have
been on the table.
And if that's really the sticking point, Nolan should have said, "You can fire anybody you want except for Allen Houston. Other than that, do your thing."
I don't know, maybe my man was adamant about it. Who knows? And in Cleveland, if I'm Chauncey, knowing the NBA, like Chauncey knows the NBA. He knows, like we all know. If I go to Cleveland, I ain't got no power. Why would I want to go to Cleveland?
I
look like
I
a clown.
To be his first job in that position.
Yeah,
I think the bigger indictment of the Cleveland job And I think this is kind of why everybody's been kind of spooked at Cleveland, is I think there's a lot of rumblings going on that LeBron
absolutely
is leaving. And nobody wants to be the guy to try to have to rebuild a team after LeBron has come in and destroyed
absolutely
any cap space, anything like that.
Absolutely. Yo, and okay, so since we talked, now let me ask y'all, are y'all surprised that Durant took less? He left a lot of money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Let Curry get Supermax and was able to let everybody come back off of what he decided not to take. Is anybody surprised?
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised, but I think it was a dumb move.
Why?
I am a firm believer that you get paid what you are worth. Kevin Durant should have looked at Kevin Durant should have went to Steph Curry and said, "Hey man, look, I'm willing to take one for the team if this is necessary. But you're going to tell me that you're about to get paid $40 million a year and I'm going to have to take $10, $15 million a year because you want to get Supermax but you don't want me to because you want to keep the team together? No. You take a $5 million pay cut or $10 million pay cut. I take a $10 million pay cut. We're all happy." I think letting Curry take the Supermax and then Kevin Durant saying, "Okay, I'll take my, you know, I don't even know what
20,
player
20,
that
would get he making 20. He making like 20 something.
Yeah. That dude could be making 40 anywhere else.
He going to make 40 in 2 years, though.
I don't agree with Kevin Durant having to take that big of a pay cut if Steph Curry is not going to be willing to do the same.
He took a big pay cut. I gotta step in. I'm sitting here just literally biting my mic because, Louie, you're killing me tonight. You know, Louie, you are killing me tonight. You're killing your girl. Now you, and I wrote it down, paid what they're worth, quote unquote. Is that not what you said, right? Okay.
Yes.
Now you know what, you guys know I'm a homer, and I listen to the audience knows I'm a homer, and I'm always defending, even though I don't go into the pockets of my favorite New York players. How many times have you guys ridiculed me, Jazz, you included? You're not immune to this. How many times have you guys ridiculed me about Melo's contract, about Eli's contract, about my fellow players' contract?
Yes.
You guys beat me to the ground about their contracts.
I don't get in the players' pockets.
But you just said I'm circling it. I got a flag on it, and it's in red. I just want the record to show.
You want some clarification? Kevin Durant, scoring champion, a MVP, and an NBA champion. Carmelo Anthony is not. So to say KD and Carmelo Anthony are worth the same amount of money is ridiculous.
Wow.
Carmelo's baby move of demanding to get out of Denver and demanding all the money in New York was the right move at the time. He was worth the money. But now his money, just like Kobe Bryant's last deal before he resigned, put his team in such cap crap because he's not worth the money that now you can't build around him. That's my issue with Carmelo's Anthony. I'm not mad at him for getting his money because at the time he signed that contract, he is worth the money. He's no longer worth the money right now, and now I get to shit on his contract because it didn't work out.
Okay. Do we got a rebuttal? We got a rebuttal.
No, I'm just going to leave. My voice has already been spoken. My opinion has already been spoken, and of course there's always a comeback, you know. But I just wanted to record the show that I do pay attention to you guys, and I do have the scars on my back. This show from the beating that you guys have given me.
I'm all for getting paid your money. I have no problem with Eli making his money because Eli's a 2-time Super Bowl champion and
Eli
has led that team to.
On the record, Eli sucks. Let's be clear.
I won't say he sucks. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league, so I can't say he sucks.
He is not. Whoa. He is not.
Name me 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now better than Eli Manning.
We ain't got time. I'm telling you. We will revisit this.
You got 10 minutes. Go.
How about this? How How about this? Name me one starting quarterback that has played in 12 consecutive years of games and not missed one game. Answer me that.
That doesn't mean he doesn't suck just because he didn't go out hurt.
Nope,
that doesn't mean
okay,
he doesn't
suck. Okay, don't give me excuses.
That's
give
just
me
more
that.
Opportunity
how many,
to
how
suck.
Many,
that's
how
just
many
more
starting quarterbacks in the last 10 years, in the last 12 years, that has not missed a game?
None. Eli
okay.
Manning.
When did
Matt Ryan get drafted?
You say that, right?
When did Matt Ryan get
Eli
drafted? Matt Ryan's got to be close to that number. I don't think he's been hurt. He doesn't miss a game. Matt Ryan's got to be close. I don't think he's been in the league 10 years, though. That's the only thing on him.
I'll give her her Eli moment. I will. He still sucks, though. Dude.
I'm just.
You want 10, I give you 10. Off the dome.
Aaron Rodgers.
Cam.
No, get out.
Matthew. I can't get Cam Newton?
Cam Newton is not better than Eli Manning. 19 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and a 56% completion pass.
You're not going to give me Cam.
Percentage? No, I'm not going to give Cam. Cam has one
okay,
good year.
I can't get Cam. Okay. I can't get Cam.
Cam has one good year.
Okay, so. Okay.
Cam Newton and RG3 the same player. Cam Newton and RG3 the same player, one good year.
Okay, Aaron, Matthew, can I get Stafford? Can I get Stafford?
I'll give you
Tom Brady.
I'll give you, oh, duh.
Russell Wilson, can I get Russell Wilson? Can I get that one?
I'll give you Russell Wilson.
Andrew Luck, can I get that one?
I'll give you Andrew Luck.
You'll give me Andrew, but you won't give me, okay, anyway.
Andrew Luck is three times better as a quarterback than Cam Newton ever dreamed of being. Cam Newton can't even play as good in Madden as Andrew Luck is in real life. Get out of here with that.
You can't.
Ouch.
Okay, I digress. Okay, okay. I mean, I got 5. Okay, I got 10 minutes. Okay, I got 10. Okay.
We got 7 minutes, actually.
Matt Ryan. Can I get Matt Ryan?
Okay, so we're at 6.
Okay, 6. Okay,
it's getting hard. It's getting hard now, isn't it?
Okay, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on.
My point exactly.
Okay,
Eli Manning.
Okay, no Geno. Okay, I know you're not going to give me Geno.
No, I'm not going to give you Geno Smith.
I'm getting
ready. He's not even a quarterback in the league right now. But next
okay,
year
I can't get your, I can't get Tyrod Taylor. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger, can I get Ben?
I'll give you Ben because I would probably put Eli like 9 and Big Ben like 8 or 10. So, yeah, I'll give you Ben.
You'll give me – golly, you are. Okay.
I'm just picking fast, man.
Okay. I know it's too early for Dak. Okay.
Okay, so we're at 7. I need 3 more.
Joe Flacco.
No.
I can't get Flacco?
No.
No.
I can't get Flacco?
No. Again, Flacco had one good year. Flacco had one magical.
You're not giving me, you're not giving me Flacco. That's hard, bro. You're not giving me Flacco. You're not giving me Cam.
Flacco's like number 11, and Cam's like number 20. You're not even like Flacco's like 11 or 12, and Cam's like 25 in that range.
Can I get Phillip Rivers? Can I get that one?
Again, he's in the same boat as those.
I can't get Phillip Rivers. Yo, you're killing me.
Phillip Rivers, he's 15. We'll give him 15.
Phillip Rivers is in the same boat as Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. So, like, yeah, I mean, they're all.
But you gave
like
me Ben.
10.
You
yeah,
gave me
Ben.
I'll give you Rivers. I'll give you Rivers. They're 8, 9, 10.
No, you can't
order.
Have all of them because they all have the same game. So you got to – Eli has a better game than you. Can't have all three of them. They all have the same game.
Okay.
So that's one.
I'll give you all three of them just because you're struggling doing this right now. So you're an 8.
I'm an 8. You didn't give me Cam because that would have made 9. But okay. It's a little
hard.
He's the 25th
best quarterback in the league.
Then Eli's. The struggle is over. Eli.
Okay, Eli.
Yeah,
I get
you. You can't make a list of the top 10 quarterbacks without
Eli.
Having Eli 9 or 10. Eli is right
okay,
there at 9
Eli's, or 10. Okay, Eli's 10. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say Eli was a top 5 or an elite quarterback. I said he's a top 10 quarterback in the league right now.
He's not. He top five in salary, though. I got a problem with that.
I said eight or nine.
y'all got that. Okay. All right. And that's if it's on the head, though. It's off the head. If you'd have gave me a day, I would have
killed you. I know that hurt, Jeff.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't have a problem with the Giants paying their top 10 quarterback in the league, who's won them two Super Bowls and is a franchise quarterback, paying them his money. Like, they've done a crappy job building around him other than those two Super Bowl years, but, I mean, that's because they've hit and missed, not because Eli's getting paid too much money.
It's only because there's a lot of young quarterbacks.
Yeah, but look at the O-line he was playing with last season as well. Look at who. What'd you say, Jeff?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in about four years, yeah, you're right. Eli's probably going to be in the, like, 15, 16 range.
Okay.
But, I mean, I can't give you Derek Carr right now. I can't give you –
You can't give me Derek?
I definitely not.
You're going to give me Cam. I knew you weren't going to give me Derek, but okay.
I mean, like, Carson Wentz is too young. Dak Prescott is not showing enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, now we're getting into the Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff.
You weren't going to give me Cousins.
We're talking Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian. I mean, we're getting into some really bad names right now.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, so let's be clear. Out of all the free agency stuff, is anybody still better than Golden State right now?
Oh, God, no.
No, not even close.
I've been hearing different stories though.
Golden State got better this offseason. Golden State re-signed their team and then drafted in the second round a guy who I think is the perfect fit for what they need. And as long as he is competent on the court in his, you know, 5-10 minutes a game he plays, I think they got better.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, and they picked up Nick Young.
I mean, if he cuts out the shenanigans and fits the system and lets, you know, and if he matures and fits into the system, then yes, adding Nick Young is a huge thing. If he still is trying to be Swaggy P from L.A., I don't see how much he's going to play, so I don't know how much it helps.
But I think the locker room plays a big part in that because the Warriors have a solid locker room as far as leadership, as far as what it is they want. So I think that they're not going to be going for those shenanigans because they want to win again. So they're going to rein that in.
Yeah, if Nick Young lets Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson tell him, like, hey, this is how this works in our locker room. If you want to go have some fun, we understand. But you're not going to be stupid. You're not going to cost us any games. You're not going to be out in the media doing stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think Nick Young's a great piece for them. But if he decides he wants to try to keep being L.A. Laker Nick Young, I don't think he'll be there very long.
Okay, so
we have 1 minute, guys.
I know. Let me ask you a quick question. Gordon Hayward going to Boston, better than Cleveland right now?
So they lost a key piece when Avery, with Avery not there.
Avery, Crowder.
Crowder's still there, dude. Crowder's still there. I'm telling
Crowder
you.
Crowder going to Utah.
I want to say yes, just because I want to say that there's a chance that LeBron James not going to make his eighth straight in the NBA final. But losing Avery Bradley was a massive hit. Like, they're relying very heavily that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are the real deal and take it nice. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hoping that a rookie in Jason Tatum plays really well, and they're hoping Jaylen Brown takes the next step. If they can add a piece like a Porzingis or, you know, another good superstar-type player, then I think that changes the question. But as of right now, I'd still take Cleveland in a 7-game series.
Even with Hayward?
Even with Hayward. Only because if they got to keep Bradley, I would probably give the edge to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But having to lose Bradley, you know, he's 17 points a game and is a great defensive player. That hurts, man. And I just don't think – and having to lose Olenek, who's your really only true big.
Yeah. Yeah, he
I mean, that hurts. I mean, that hurt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know how much they got better.
But they got
so
back more, though.
I mean, is he really that good?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's kind of a Jake Crowder type piece, but not as good. He's Jake Crowder, but not as good.
Obviously, they think he sucks.
I mean, he's all right. I mean, he's going to be a nice piece for him. But,
it's
I mean,
gonna,
not,
it's gonna
part
be
of
interesting.
The huh? Yeah, he came in the Bradley trade. I mean, so I'm saying he's a nice piece, but he's not a difference maker. And so instead of going 5 games against Cleveland, it might go 6 or 7. You might win 2 or 3 against
Damn.
Cleveland now instead of only winning 1.
Mm-hmm. Damn. What do you think, Miss Tony? Yeah.
They lost some key pieces, and I don't think they added it up to equal or make better than what they lost because, like you said, Avery played both ends of the court, you know, and I think that was a key piece. And Olenek is however you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see how Brad Stevens brings it all together and make it mesh. A lot of it's going to be interesting to see how all of these moves are going to make these teams look so if everybody can play well on the court. So it's going to be an interesting NBA season. I don't think I've seen this many moves in free agency ever. And I was trying to see if I can remember if I've ever seen this many moves.
Well, the NBA is an arms race now. Yeah. You're either in the arms race and you're either signing everybody and gearing up for an arms race, or you're getting the hell out of town and you're just going to wait for the Warriors, the Cavaliers, and the Rockets to not be good in 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the point. You're either jumping in to try to compete with them. Right. You're either trying to compete right now or you're waiting 5, 6 years. So there's a lot of teams
trying to compete
right now.
Especially with this new talent that just came in.
There's a lot of teams trying to compete right now. There's a whole lot of teams going, ho, 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 we can't do this. So y'all have our people, and we're going to rebuild for the next 5 years.
But what about teams like New Orleans, Utah, Boston, Washington? What about
Washington,
those teams?
They've all decided that they think they can compete with what they got. I think they're wrong, but obviously Washington thinks
that
Otto Porter's the answer.
No, but one team that I am going to be interested in seeing is Minnesota.
I love that team. I love that team.
Team is going to be the one, just the sleeper. That team is going to be the one to make a lot of noise.
I think if Andrew Wiggins Karl Anthony Towns take the next step forward, Jimmy Butler develops an outside shot, and Jamal Crawford's leadership and off the bench scoring stays at his level that he normally is. That's a good team right there. I like Jeff Teague.
Yes.
I like Jimmy Butler. I like Andrew Wiggins. I like Karl Anthony Towns. I like Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford's a little old for my blood, but he's a veteran who knows how to win, who knows what it takes to be an NBA player, and can still score at a decent clip. I like it.
Good leadership. And coach. The coach can bring out the best, you know, from top to bottom. I like that team.
And
they got Charles Gibson.
I don't think they're making a deep run, but I think they've
been
very nicely that in 3 or 4 years when Wiggins and Karl Anthony I think they've set themselves up in a nice little spot in 3 years. They can re-sign Jimmy Butler. Andrew Wiggins is maturing better. Karl Anthony Towns is maturing better. And when the Warriors start sliding out or can't keep everybody because the cap space and Cleveland bows out and Houston, you know, whatever happens in Houston, I think you start looking at a very contender team in about 2 or 3 years. But
you're taking into account now those guys that you mentioned in Minnesota be on these second contracts now. Towns, Wiggins, Butler going to have to be re-signed. Can you fit all of them in
the cap? Yeah. I mean, if Golden State can fit what they've got, Minnesota can fit those guys. Because Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns' max contracts aren't going to be as big as Curry and Durant because the max contract is based on how many years you've been in the league. So, like, they'll still be young enough in the league that their max isn't as big as, like, a Steph Curry. So, like, their second contract's not going to be that bad. It's going to be Jimmy Butler that's going to break the bank. But that's only one guy.
Okay.
I mean, you're okay. We're
with
watching,
that, guys, we
we're
have.
Watching,
go ahead, finish that thought.
I was going to say, we're watching the Timberwolves try to recreate what the Warriors did in drafting Steph and
mm-hmm.
Clay and Draymond, where you get to mm-hmm. sign them and keep them for cheap early on, and now all of a sudden when they develop and they're young and cheap really early, you add that one or two bomber piece, now all of a sudden you're in the cap and you've got a really good team.
Or do you have an OKC where you can't keep all three, and then one goes,
no.
then the OKC's, other one goes?
OKC's ownership caused that one. OKC's ownership decided they weren't paying Harden and Durant, or at least not paying Harden and Ibaka. If OKC's ownership wasn't cheap, they could have kept their guys.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. But it's a salary cap. Why would they not want to pay it?
I don't know. I'm just saying OKC traded Harden because they didn't want to pay him.
That was the word always going around. But they just didn't want to pay him. Yeah, and they gave him up a year early.
Yeah. So.
Yep.
All right.
With that being said, we
want to
thank you. We want to thank everybody for tuning in once again.
Yeah.
To the scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party, and for those that are in the ATL or may be visiting the ATL next weekend, come check out your girl at the Atlantic Kickback. That's going to be at the Convention Center. I'll be at table 82. Jazz, I hope I get to see you.
I thought it was this weekend.
Louie, I hope it's next weekend. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Not this weekend. Not the weekend coming up. You're not on Facebook. I'm gonna put my flyer in our box. But
Jazz,
I'm gonna be in
Atlanta.
We're not being advertised
to be in there. We live in Atlanta.
Yeah, we're gonna roll together. Word up. No, we're gonna roll together. That's what's up.
It's all sold out. It's gonna be really, really. It's gonna be music. It's gonna be all types of vendors there. So I'm gonna be at table 22.
Like,
so come check your girl out.
I like
so now,
vendors.
Are we having? Are we on the air next week?
No, we are actually on break until August. I am literally burnt out, but we're gonna come back before the fight. I know there's a big fight coming up next month.
I
that
really
not
heard
about
it. What fight?
That's Jazz's
Jazz,
baby.
You have to fill me in off air, buddy. You have to fill me off air, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Appreciate it, dog.
Isn't there a fight next month?
Yes.
Oh, you got a couple of things. I'm serious. On the 29th, you got the UFC with Cormier versus John Jones 2 at the end of the month. You got my man's supposed to be fighting later on this month. I forget. But watch out for the Jones fight. That's going to be the bomb.
Hey, Brock Lesnar is going to be headlining SummerSlam in August.
Yeah,
I mean,
SummerSlam. Yeah.
Yeah.
When is SummerSlam?
End of August, usually. I don't know the
exact
date.
Then, he just wrestled Great Balls of Fire on Sunday. Did pretty
Goodness
well,
gracious,
so I got to admit.
That was actually a really good pay-per-view.
Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire,
baby. Great Balls of Fire. And they even paid the money to get the song.
Wow.
Got to get that money. Got to get that money out of you now. They got to get that money every month now. They doing pay-per-views every month.
Dude, they doing 2 pay-per-views
a
month.
Damn. Damn. That's a lot of cake.
Wow.
Well, I think we're going to have to pay bills again if we stay on the air too much longer, guys. And I'm kind of broke.
We are
going to... So.
And they're literally about to cut us off because we are way over. Once again, thanks everyone for tuning into the scoreboard. We so appreciate you guys. Till next time, good night, everybody.
All right, kick that beat for me, baby. Good night.
Good night. Did up this stuff to boom.
Hey, come on, bro. You ever got a problem, my nigga? You ain't got no problem. That was the blood I got you, homie.
in the kitchen with my apron on. Bitch, I'm baking pies like my grandma.